Hey. I am your host and owner of Donna M Collection Lifestyle Brand, where we have candid conversations about everything from fashion to confidence. Well, happy new year to you. It is officially 2022, as you already know. And it's really good to be back from a well-needed break, but it's still good to be back. Prayerfully, you were able to enjoy the holiday season safely, and you were able to find some joy and peace as well. I know things have not been the same for the last 2 years, but it's the new year and another opportunity for us to regroup and refresh. So let us get right into it. Today's guest really needs no introduction because she has a proven track record on how God will order your steps. As Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Because of her obedience to the word, she has literally gone from working behind the chair as a stylist to her God-given destiny. Sakina is known across many platforms just basically for her passion and desire to teach and to pull out of every beauty professional their purpose. And it's all based on biblical principles. She has gracefully dedicated and contributed over 26 years to the beauty industry. And I have been privileged to watch her blossom from behind the chair as a hairstylist to the retail boss. She is a graduate of Dudley Cosmetology Institute, the wife of Mr. Curtis Merriweather Jr., the mother of two adult children, and she is a Gigi. Can you believe it? She is a Gigi. Sakina is a successful business owner with multiple businesses. She's a mentor, a coach, author, licensed educator, and without no doubt, a talented wig maker. Her expertise in the beauty industry has also made her a connoisseur of federal government contracting, and she has a renowned YouTube channel and podcast, The Retail Boss. Sakina has traveled the world just teaching and mentoring and building, equipping, and encouraging the beauty industry on how to retail to retire. More importantly, she is a woman of God. So get ready to jumpstart your new year and catapult your mindset as Sakina shares how she went from working behind the salon chair to her destiny. So much for being such an inspiration and just reaching back, you know, sharing your gifts and talents and your expertise. And I say that because the information that you provide, I mean, it can be applied to any industry, and it has helped me tremendously. And so I know if it's helped me, it's helped so many other women. I just remember the very first webinar I took of yours, and I'm like, wow, I'm not even in the cosmetology industry, and I can use this information for what I'm doing. So this is so amazing. Yes, ma'am. So thank you so much for not holding back.
Yes, you're welcome. I'm just trying to push everyone that is out here and whatever field they're in, you know, in the right direction. And I couldn't do any of it without the Lord being right here by my side. And I'm just doing, I'm doing my job.
Absolutely, you are. So listen here, I know that you've been in the beauty industry for 26 plus years, but yes. I also understand that was not your passion. That was not the original plan. You were headed to fashion school. So tell us about that.
Correct. Yeah, it's amazing that, you know, God can, he can bless us with so many different talents. And, you know, it's amazing how he can use one particular talent to like push you into like your destiny. And that's basically like what happened. I had a natural ability to do hair. My love for fashion was truly my passion from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And just by way of me, you know, experiencing classes in high school, and that was kind of like my focus. And I got an opportunity to win a internship at FIT in New York, and I was able to do that internship with Donna Karen before she became big time Donna Karen.
Wow, that is amazing. Wow. Yes. She's a powerhouse. Yes, she is.
Yes. And that, it just pushed me. It really pushed me, you know, towards still wanting to get into fashion merchandising and the and the retail space. That interested me a lot because I, you know, I had worked in the mall. You know, I worked for retail clothing stores. I worked for Nordstrom's. Actually, it was my first retail job. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when I took that internship, it just kind of opened my eyes to like what area in fashion I was drawn to, because it was not the artistic ability to draw. It wasn't that. It was the business side of it.
Right.
You know, so yeah, I got into the cosmetology space. Literally, I felt like it was, I'm not going to say it was by accident. It was by design. Right. It was by design. It was because that talent was there. I always used that talent to just do my family and friends' hair. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had a girlfriend of mine. She was doing an open house for her cosmetology school, and she asked me to be a model. And before that, you know, I had prayed and asked God, like, hey, I got this opportunity to go away to this college, but my parents were like, hey, we can't afford it. And they were like, you're going to have to like work your way through school. And I had a partial scholarship, but I was like, okay, I got to pay for this apartment because they didn't have a dormitory. So I was going to have to get a studio apartment in Manhattan, which was extremely expensive.
Right.
So that's how I got into cosmetology. Literally, it was God setting me up, and I went to this open house. I was a model getting a facial done, and I heard the cosmetology instructor tell the parents that, you know, going out into this field right out of school, you know, that their child could start off making $50,000 a year. And I was like, wow. Wait a minute. Hold on. Cha-ching, ching, ching.
I know, right? Holy Spirit, activate.
Yes, activate right now. And that's really how that happened. And I was like, wait a minute. So yeah, she gave me the information. I took it back to my high school. You know, they came back to me with bad news and were like, yeah, we're not going to be able to accept you into the program because you're going to be a senior. And this is a 2-year program. And I was just like, man, what am I going to do? And I went back to God and I was like, I'm like, Lord, if this is the path that I'm supposed to be on, I'm going to need you to work this out. This is beyond me. You know, there's nothing I could do about it. And lo and behold, they called me and said, hey, we're going to make an exception, but you'll have to come back after you've graduated. After senior year, you've graduated. You're going to have to come back and finish out the hour so that you can get the license. Uh-huh. And that is what happened. That's what I did. And I stayed with the cosmetology because I also found a great love for servicing people. And, you know, beauty and fashion kind of go hand in hand anyway. And I was just like, I'm really drawn to this right now. So I literally stuck with it. And I'm glad I did because it opened doors for me. It set me up for where I am now. And it just opened so many other doors. And, you know, that world of fashion and beauty has always collided no matter what I've done. You know, I've had opportunity to do, you know, like hair and makeup for like fashion shows. So I was always still around it.
Right.
And it's just a part of me. I would go places and people would ask me all the time, like, hey, who dresses you? Like, where you get your clothes from? You know, where you get your shoes from? So it's been a part of who I am, and it makes me who I am. It's just me. It is.
Right. No, you're absolutely correct because, listen, I've been watching you. Look, you've been my hairstylist for quite some time. But, look, I've been checking you out. And you are a fashionista in your own right. So, I get it. And it's just amazing, you know, because as you were talking, I was just sitting and saying the same thing. You know, I've always been into fashion myself, but... numbers. For some reason, I got into numbers. and I loved it. And so my background, my experience is actually in anything accounting, payroll, bookkeeping. And so I've done that for many, many years. And then here I am, you know, I'm, you know, in the fashion industry. So our stories, you know, are, you know, pretty similar.
Yes.
But now that you're, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying, yes, I agree with you.
So now you're in, you're going to beauty school, you've gone, you know, through the training and everything. So I want to talk to you about this blog post that I saw because, you know, you all excited about getting in that industry. And there was a blog post that you posted in reference to the beauty industry game is a trip. That was the title of the blog. And that first sentence, you said that coming into this industry, I had no idea of the pains and hurdles I was going to have to face. I just knew I loved making people feel absolutely beautiful. So tell me, how was Kina at that particular moment? How did that affect your confidence or self-image? Because here, you change your plans. You were headed to fashion school. Now you're in the beauty industry. Now you're in an environment with people that you thought were your friends, people you thought you could trust, but apparently it was not what you thought it was. So talk to me about what was going on with you and whether that actually affected your confidence and your self-image at that particular time.
You know, Donna, I really feel like those things pushed me into where I am today, and those trials, they literally made me stronger.
Right.
And it pushed me closer to God like never before. Because in those moments where I was really developing as an instructor and, you know, I started doing platform work and traveling around the world. I was a salon owner and I was doing all of this traveling. And throughout the processes of that, there was a boot camp season that I was not prepared for. And in that season is where you're starting to find like your identity and like who you are in this particular space for this particular season. And what is your purpose behind the becoming of that? You know what I'm saying? Like, what is that all about? And through that, I believe God was filtering out a lot of things that were in me that didn't need to be there, that that attracted those type of people to me.
Right.
And when I when I began to start to look at things through the lens of God, you know, things started changing. I started to see that, you know, these particular things are not for me anymore. Having to backbite, having to be in a dog eat dog competition, stepping on people, you know, treating people any kind of way just to get to the top. I was never going to be a part of that vein.
Right.
Like, that just wasn't who I am. And I just needed to be true to who I was. And it wasn't easy sticking to that script because God wouldn't even allow me to have the desire to do some of the things that I saw being done. And for me, it was like, wow, I'm an amazing educator. I come with force. I know my stuff. I study. I bring my A game. I bring 1,000%. And it seemed like everybody else that was doing not even 50% of those things were moving to the top faster than I was. And at the time, I was working for a particular product line, and I used that product line in my salon, and I just couldn't understand why every time it seemed like I got a step up, I got knocked back down. And it was because I wasn't willing to compromise my soul. You know what I'm saying? It takes me to the scripture where it talks about what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And that just was not in my nature. I knew who I was in Christ, and I refused to process. It felt like I was being pushed down, and I went to God with that and was like, Lord, what is going on here? I don't understand. I've given this company my all for like 5 years, and I don't understand why I'm not getting this national title and this recognition that I should be getting, and some of the opportunities are being stopped. And I remember waking up the next morning, brushing my teeth. The Lord always talks to me either in the shower or while I'm brushing my teeth.
Right.
And I heard the Lord say to my spirit, because I require more of you. But I didn't understand what that more of me was. And it, and it wasn't even in the cosmetology industry space, so to speak, for where my end was supposed to be. But this was just to catapult me from one level to the next, to the next. So yes, Ms. Don, I know that was probably like jam packed, but that that was it.
that was good. And I think, you know, we need to be, real. I mean, and not that you are not, but I think when people hear your authenticity, when they hear your story, it gives them a reason to fight even more, fight even harder. And I don't even want to use the word fight, because when you're in the body of Christ, you know, in a sense, you know, it's like we have to fight, but in reality, we don't have to fight because God has our back.
True.
He wins on every battle. So it doesn't matter what it is that we're dealing with or what it is that we're going through. But I want to say that, I mean, everything that you're saying is absolutely head on, because there are some things that I was doing even in what I'm doing. And I finally realized, I'm like, why am I doing this? For number one, it was taking up a lot of my time. You know, just taking up a lot of my time. And I'm like, you know, I don't need to be doing this, because it's, I don't think this is the way God wants me to go. And so, you know, I made a decision that, you know what, it is what it is. You know, I'm just going to do what I can do, and however it flow, I'm just going to trust God in this process, because it's not about what people think. It's not about what the world says. And see, that's the thing, you know, even with a lot of Christian folk, we have, I guess, we've crossed that line ourselves. Trying to put ourselves out there, doing these things, you know, that the world, getting caught up in the world's way of doing things. And it's like, you know, we got to step back. We got to step back and start asking ourselves questions. You know, for number one, are we in faith?
That's true.
You know, is this faith or is this me? Because if it's true, then it's not faith.
That's
and
true.
It's the best of us, the best of us, that find ourselves getting caught in the world's way of doing things. And, you know, yeah, it does feel like, you know, we're not making any headway, but, and you know, it's like we just have to get to a place in our life where we understand, you know, how God works. You know, he's moved, you know, faith without work is dead, but he's moved by faith.
That's right.
He wants to see your faith. And so when you put your faith out there, then that's when, you know, he's going to start doing some things.
That's right.
Because, you know, we struggle, you know, something that you said in that post, you know, that we still struggle with as adults. And you said that when you finally realized your value was worth more than it had ever been, that's when you knew that it was time for you to branch off on your own. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it takes us a little bit. And like you said, it was the trials, it's what you went through that got you to where you are today. So it was okay. It was okay that you went through a little.
That's true. That's true. That is so true.
Ask you this. What advice would you give someone who wants to go into the beauty industry knowing everything that you went through?
Well, my advice would definitely be to, you know, seek God. You know, seek the kingdom of God.
Exactly.
So I'll take you to, I give us a little scripture here. One of my favorites, Matthew 6:33. And that says to, you know, seek ye first the kingdom. Of God, you know, and all of his righteousness, you know, and all of these things will be added unto you.
Right.
So with that, you know, I know we probably have people that are listening that are not, you know, particularly believers or maybe interested in like, hey, what is all this about this God you guys are referencing and talking about? What I can say is, you know, accepting Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior and really understanding that you're a part of this new kingdom. With that, you have tap into all of your talents that God has given you, and being able to push forward in business, especially if you're called to a certain area of business. Right. Like, Lord, where do you want me to fit? I know this interests me. I know I want to be an entrepreneur, but what is it that I should be doing with the talents that you gave me? Because you didn't give me these talents for me to hold on to them and bury them, you know, and keep them underground, but you gave them to me so that I may prosper and so that I may be helpful to someone and lead people to you through me. So Lord, where do I want to be? So we gotta think sometimes we could be kind of deep and think that we have to be perfect. No, God wants us all jacked up. He wants us in a space to where we can be tangible. We can, you know, we can learn, we can be molded. Right. So having just that conversation like you and I are sitting here having is just that simple. Lord, what do I need to be doing if I'm going into the beauty industry? Because there's so many different sectors of it. You know, should I be making my own products? You know, should I be behind the chair? Should I open a chain of salons? You know, should I be behind the chair? Should I be an instructor? There's so many different facets that you can go in within the beauty industry. So finding what is that niche? That's an important thing to first recognize the talent. So if I can do all of these different things. And I know for me personally, I was a Jill of all trades. I can do hair, I could do nails, I could do makeup. It didn't matter. I could do any of it. Now, I might not have been perfect at all of it, but I know I could get the job done.
Right.
So with that, I was that person searching in the beginning, like, okay, Lord, like, you know, show me what I'm really good at in this industry so I can hone in on it. And what I was able to hone in on was cutting short hair and cuts and color was my thing. And yes, I'm going to tell you, that was my golden ticket that made my business boom.
Yes, it was.
Oh, gosh, it was. So if you're like, you know, trying to go into the beauty industry, that's the most important thing, is to have that conversation with God. If you don't want to call it prayer, you don't have to, but that's what you're doing. Let the Lord begin to show you, because like for me, the Lord always ministers to me in my sleep, in my dreams. And I would literally dream hairstyles. Wow. It's the craziest thing ever. This is probably the first time I've ever said this, like on a mic coming out my mouth, but I would literally dream hairstyles.
Amazing.
And I would get up and be like, I'm doing that on somebody today. That is happening. And every time I would walk in the salon and my clients would just be like, hey, I'm an open canvas. You can do whatever you want to do. I'm grateful I had that type of clientele, because y'all literally let me be an artist. Y'all really honestly, truly did. And my mark was all over Charleston. People will be like, who did your hair? You know, my clients will always be like, I passed out all these cards today. And it was because of the freedom. I was free. I was totally free doing that. Right. And that's it. And it made my business boom, made my business jump. So my advice to anybody, after praying and seeking God, you know, pay attention, because the Lord will start showing you who you are in the process of you asking him. You might not always hear an audible voice from God that speaks back to you, but you can pay attention to nature. You can pay attention to things that happen to you throughout the day, you know, like I said, dreams and visions. That's how God deals with me. Mm-hmm. And through the process of me having those dreams and visions, and I would use my hands and create and do these things, I'm like, that's it. I'm staying in that lane. And that literally drove me into a six-figure business. Literally. Right. You know what I'm saying? That was the driving force, Ms. Donna.
Right. Yeah. God, I mean, he does give you those creative ideas. And you're absolutely correct. It's not always an audible voice, you know, but here's the thing. You have to know how to discern that voice.
Yes.
As well.
That's true.
So, you know, you have to learn how to discern that voice. And I think sometimes, you know, God is always speaking. It's whether we know that it's him speaking or not.
True.
And so I think that is such an awesome place to start. Because he has all the answers. We don't know. I mean, he knows from day to day, from hour to hour, minute to minute, second to second.
Yes.
You know, what's going to take place, what's not going to take place. And so I think that's a very good piece of advice to give, you know, anybody, I guess, whether it's in the beauty industry or any business or any part of your life.
Yes.
Any part of your life. So I'm going to switch gears a little bit here, Keena.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask you about your book. This daily affirmation for beauty industry professionals overcoming every area of your life with positive affirmations.
Yes.
Where did the book idea come from, and why was it so important to write this book for the beauty industry?
Man, oh my goodness. Listen, let me tell you something. The inspiration for me to literally go into the scriptures and pull out, literally extract the scriptures and compare what it was that I was going through in business as a salon owner. I recognized at a point in my life, after being a salon owner very early on, you know, I was kind of like a baby still in my word and understanding how to apply the scriptures in my life. And sometimes I would say negative things, and all these negative things would happen. And I spoke more positive than I did negative.
Right.
But one day it clicked. Like, girl, do you understand? Every time you say these things, they literally manifest. Like, your tongue is so sharp. Like, your thinking and everything that filters through your mind and comes out of your mouth,
you are
speaking out of what is in your heart. So do you really feel these things in your heart? And it checked me.
Right.
It was like, Holy Spirit checked me. It was like, is this really in your heart? And I was like, no, like, where's this coming from?
Exactly.
So I had to go to a space, you know, with my prayer life with God and fasting with God and just like spending time in my word, to where those little broken pieces that were in me, where I didn't know where the broken pieces came from that was allowing me to speak all this negativity.
Right.
And a lot of it was insecurity. So I had to check that, and I gave it to God. I said, Lord, I'm giving you every insecurity, because this is an area that keeps coming up, and this is where it's coming from, that place. And why is that an abundant area in my heart? Insecurity. Where did this come from?
Right.
And it really led me back to my childhood. You know what I'm saying? So it was so deep. So in that moment, I said, okay, I got to fix my language. And I began to walk into my shop. This is when I very first opened the shop in the beginning, where there wasn't a lot of flow of traffic for everyone else. Of course, it was for me, because I already had a clientele. But I began to go into the salon early morning before anyone. And I began to lay my hands on every chair, and I began to speak. I began to speak an overflow of clientele in the salon. I began to speak that every person that came into my salon was meant to be a part of this business for a purpose, for a divine purpose for their life. I began to speak everything that I didn't see that I wanted to see. I began to just speak those things into existence. And I started writing things down that I wanted, you know, everything that I want. I started writing them down, these affirmations. I was speaking these words every day. I was getting the scriptures. I went to the word of God, because I think earlier you said, how did you know that, you know, we got to be careful to know we're hearing the voice of God. So everything that I was writing down in terms of affirmations, I needed to find it in the scriptures.
Right.
Because I wanted to make sure that I'm saying what comes from the word of God, because I am a believer. So if it was something I couldn't find, I wasn't going to speak it. And most of that was negativity, of course.
Right.
So I was able to find everything that I was speaking in a scripture was with it. So if I come into the shop, I would speak the affirmations, I would speak the word of God, and I just combined them, you know, and it became literally explosive, to the point that all the chairs were full. We had a waiting list. People couldn't even get booked. They couldn't even get on the, you know, they couldn't get in with, they couldn't get in with me. And I said, Lord, I need you, that I could filter clients through. And he did. He brought me a student that was from my school. And it just, everything that I was able to really begin to happen before my eyes, to the point to where my girlfriend said, I need to do like you, because every time you say something, it just comes to pass. And I told her, I said, but you know what the key to that, besides the speaking, is the faith.
Exactly.
Because that is the currency in the kingdom, is me exchanging my faith to God for what I want to see produce and happen on the earth. That's according to his word, because it's not according to my word, it's to his.
Exactly.
And that was it. It began to happen, and you know, I just began to see things differently. And I started teaching the people that came into the salon that was working with me, hey, these are the things you need to be speaking. And I would send them an email, say, hey, here you go. Speak this before you come into the shop, you know, on your way into the salon, on your lunch break and things like that. I had to be that same light to the people that were working, because I needed all of us to be on one accord. Exactly. And if they weren't, you know, they filtered their way out, and God did that as well. But that's the only way I could move forward. So yeah, when I came up with the book, it was years later. Like, I wasn't even a salon owner anymore. My whole life changed in a whole nother direction. Like, right. I'm not doing any of that anymore. And I started researching like books for people in the beauty industry, and I wasn't able to really find anything.
Wow.
And that was it. And the Lord said, I gave it to you. I gave it to you to produce. I gave it to you to produce. So yeah, I ended up doing that. It was my first book. It wasn't even like the best. I knew nothing. I did not know what I was doing at all. And I literally sold 300 copies of that book just by me talking about it to people on Facebook and Instagram. Like, I didn't have a publishing company. I just did it. I was like, okay, Lord, you launching me out into the deep. And he was like, yeah, I need you to step out the boat. I got you.
Right.
Just do it. And that was literally an introduction for where I am, where I'm going now, that I'm getting ready to go through a publishing company and release something else. So yeah, God is just so amazing.
He is. He is amazing. And the thing about your book is you touched on a lot. I mean, yes, you have an affirmation in there for everything. Salvation. When I saw salvation, and it's not, I can't say that salvation is strange to me, but when I saw that, I'm like, wow, I don't know if I ever saw an affirmation on salvation. But you got an affirmation for salvation, finances, business and life success factors, forgiveness, just all these different areas of your life. But one of the things that I did notice, it seems like you strategically audit those chapters to start with what I think should be the beginning of every person's life, or the first thing on a person's priority list, which is salvation.
Yes.
So I thought that was so amazing. So tell me, was it intentional for you to start your book of affirmations off with salvation and then to end it with great sleep? I'm like, wow, great, that's a great end.
It was very intentional, because I feel like any other, I'm going to say, religious affiliation, you know, that I look at, that is, we could walk into a restaurant, and if that particular restaurant is an Asian restaurant, they have their gods at the front door. But as soon as we mention God or put up a cross, then people are automatically offended. It's like, oh gosh, really? Is this what we're doing? But no one says anything to these other, religious denominations or whatever. And I always make it clear, like, I'm not a religious person. However, Christianity is considered a religion. We know that man did that. But at the end of the day, I'm a believer in Christ. And I don't want to take it for granted that everyone is, or they even understand, like, okay, some of these things that you're saying, where are they coming from?
Right.
So I wanted to make sure that I started it off by, let's make sure that we receive Jesus Christ first.
Amen.
Because without him, none of us would even be here, because he made provision for us, you know, on the cross 2000 years ago. You know what I'm saying? So I wanted that to be an introduction, and especially for someone that doesn't know anything about Christ, like, let me at least be introduced to it. And even if I may not understand it, because this is an affirmations titled book, I'm going to speak it.
Right.
And so that was the bait for me to make sure that I put that out there. Like, I need to get you hook, line, and sinker on believing in Christ. And also, your words are coming. This is the source of the strength of everything that you're speaking. This is where it's coming from.
Wow. That's
so
good.
Yeah, that was definitely on purpose. And then the end to end with the sleep. Like you said, you know, speaking those affirmations when you sleep. I am a firm believer that we are all made up of three parts. We have a body that possesses a soul and that has a spirit. So, you know, when I go and I read the, you know, what doctors say about like when we are sleeping and how our body is resting and our soul and our spirits are still awake. There's on the inside of us, our spirits and our souls are still like alert and lurking and looking and seeking, even when our bodies are resting.
Right.
And so with that, I said, you know what? You know, I always make sure I speak over myself and my kids before we go to bed. It was always something I did as a single mom. Like, we're going to pray before we go to bed, and we're going to ask God to give us a sweet, peaceful sleep. And Lord, while I am asleep, you know, you have the ability to download on the inside of me, allow me to see dreams and visions, you know, like, you know, like, Lord, like, just be all in everything, wherever my soul and my spirit is wandering. Lord, I want to make sure that I am being connected to you, because you are my source. And so speaking those words, you know, speaking his words in the atmosphere, it gives him permission. You know, God is such a gentle God. He's like, I won't even violate you. You know, that's what the enemy does. Right. He looks to violate you. I won't even violate you. So if you don't invite me in, I'm still just going to be here hovering.
And I
think about the story of Mary. When she was sleeping, the Holy Spirit hovered over her. Well, that's what happens when we're sleeping. The Holy Spirit is hovering. And if you're inviting Holy Spirit in before you go to sleep, now Holy Spirit says, now I have permission to have entrance. And now I can begin to give you visions and dreams while you are sleeping and download what is coming from the heavens for your life.
So that
was my focus behind that, you know, ending with that. You know what I mean? That was it.
That is so profound. So profound.
Yes,
wow,
that is
good. I love it. Now, this is not the end of our interview here, but I'm gonna take a commercial break here just to say to my listeners, if you haven't gotten this book, you need to go ahead and get yourself a copy because it will change your mindset. I have my copy, and I'm telling you, I've kind of like tweaked some of the affirmations just to fit my situation. So I'm telling you, go ahead and get yourself a copy. Ms. Sakina is going to share that information at the end, where you can find her book. But the book is absolutely a blessing, and it will definitely change your mindset. You also have what you call, it's a workbook called The Survival Guide to Beauty Retail.
Yes.
Okay, tell us about that. What does that book?
Oh my goodness, listen. I used to get swamped with DMs from listeners, DMs from people in the beauty industry, DMs from people on my Instagram, mostly on Instagram because I kind of transitioned from Facebook, and also just emails from people like, hey, can you give me some tips? I know I've listened to your podcast, but I'm still struggling. And these are the areas that I'm struggling in. And I was like, I said, okay. So I started taking note. And then I would also do one-on-one consultations with salon owners and beauty business owners. And a lot of the questions that they were repetitious that would always come up. Like, for instance, one of the ones would always be where, well, I do a great job retailing myself, but the people that work for me or work in my salon, or the booth renters that work in my salon, or the commission stylists or the stylists I have, I can't get my team to retail. You know, like, what do I do? You know what I'm saying? How do I go about this? And then I would always get the other questions, which would be, how many different lines of retail should I have in my salon? Like, you know, how do I go about organizing this to make it make sense, to make people want to buy the product?
Right.
And a lot of it was just lack of education. Like, you know, we have to educate the people that are sitting in our chairs. And
right.
And your chair is your stage. That is your platform. That is your home. That is where you give them everything that's on the inside of you concerning, you know, your product line. So for me, when I created the book, the workbook, I wanted something that was digital that people can download to their devices. They could walk around their shop with their iPad and literally go through their inventory in their salon. Began to apply by setting up workstations and, you know, educating their teams and how to go about doing all those different things to make it be a smooth transition and not look like they were like a sales type of thing.
Right.
Excuse me. I had a little tickle in my throat. But yeah, so with that, I created just that workbook that anybody can use in their beauty business. And if you are in a salon, even if you're by yourself and you're like, hey, I don't have a team, but it's just me. There's everything in that book is still applicable to yourself, because you still have to train you. You know, you still got to train yourself. You still have to know what to say, what not to say. You have to be able to understand your client. Like, I have a space in here about understanding, like, your salon. Like, what's the mission? What's the goal? Like, really reiterating a lot of things that you would think most people would know, but they seriously did not know. And it's because of the lack of the education on the business side in beauty school. That's just not a focus in beauty school. You would think it would be, because you're sending people out into the world to become business owners. But I also recognize that, you know, back in the days, they were never training beauty professionals to really be salon owners. They were the schools were training them to be workers. But see, things shifted because normally you would have the larger corporations that normally would have like chain salons and things like that that people would work for. And I can be honest, I worked for one myself. I worked for JCPenney's like back in the days. You know, I was young. I was getting my feet wet, trying to understand things. So yeah, that they were training you back then to be workers. But a shift happened in the late 90s to where a lot of, people started looking and thinking like, wait a minute, hold on. It's a lot of money that could be made here. And if I could control it by doing some of these particular things for my clientele, I could make a better environment. You know, I could set myself up in a team up for success. I could train people within my business and keep the clients happy and coming back, you know? Right. So that was huge. And that workbook came from my clients that were reaching out to me and others that were just reaching out to me for advice. So I just put it all in one easy workbook. There's even activities in the back to where, you know, you can actually go through and do and apply some of the things. That way you can set a plan, you know, the blueprint of how to, you know, do things within your business, because everybody's business is different. You might be a barber, you know, you may be an esthetician, you know, so you got to make it work for you. But anybody in the beauty space could definitely use that workbook and be successful. I've gotten some testimonies back on that.
Absolutely amazing. So would you say that, well, I know that your affirmations, you know, I mean, it's a game changer. It's a mind changer. But your workbook, compared to what you saw prior to writing that book, what did you see now as far as the individuals that have been reaching out to you? Would you say that you've seen an increase in just their boldness and their confidence and, you know, as a result of not just the affirmation book, but your workbook?
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot. I get a lot of feedback on people sending me their numbers. Their numbers, how their numbers.
Wow.
That was the biggest thing. And it was like, you got to get from, you know, everybody wants to make the money.
Right.
But going from point A to point B to point C to get to the end result of really knowing your numbers, because I have a section in there that talks about that.
Right.
You know, the first step to really getting to that point is understanding what you've created and what you have already built. And if you have to now make adjustments and change some things, now you know how to slightly bend in some areas so that you can get to that point. Because some people had to just clean house. Some people realize like, hey, I just have the wrong people working in my shop. They have bad attitudes. They don't want a team. Like, I'm trying to create a team environment and they don't want a team environment. Right. And I would have these consultations and I would tell them like, listen, not one client that came in my salon could tell the difference between somebody who was on commission and who was on booth rent.
Wow.
We were one band, one sound. You could not tell that, oh, this person's a booth renter. Everybody in the salon had incentive to sell the same products. And that's it. It's like, what is the incentive? What am I? Because nobody wants to work in someone else's business if they feel like only one person is benefiting, and that's the owner.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So if you want to have that collective, if you want to have that team spirit, you have to invite that spirit in. That's and you have to recognize your team. because without the team, it's just not going to happen. You that can't carry the team on your back. You know what I'm saying? Right. So yeah, I even gave some advice on creating retail coaches within the salon. That way now you have someone who everyone knows. We have these salon meetings. Everyone knows who the retail coach is. And that coach is now going to guide you and help you along your way in having those conversations with your clients. Because a lot of times people just didn't want to have the conversation. Like, well, I'm already charging them $200 to get a sew-in. I don't want to talk to them about getting something that they need to go on the scalp with the sew-in. Right. That's going to help them keep their hair on their head while they're wearing the sew-in. That doesn't make sense. You have to tell, you gotta let them know. like, ma'am, you need this spray on the, you know, for your scalp or whatever. So with that being said, because a lot of them were in such fear to break the fear, the retail coach paid attention to signs and signals. So we would always have a signal in the salon. We had this one particular saying that everybody know what that saying was. And if we said peanut butter, that means everybody needs to be paying attention to what's happening because we need to help her with the client. Right. And that's when that retail coach would just go by and say, hey, how you doing, Miss Patricia? I'm glad to see you in here today. You know, your sewing is looking good. It's coming together, girl. Don't forget to leave with that antiseptic, girl, because that scalp get itchy. Now, Miss Patricia is like, you know what? This girl been telling me about that. So wait a minute. Tell me about what's in that again. So yeah, the itchiness, that's definitely a problem. So now that triggers this conversation without making it look salesy. Without making it look like you're trying to sell them something they don't need. You're actually selling them something they need. But in the same token, you're stirring this conversation that you now can give them information about the product and why they need it. So now education comes into play between the client and the stylist. That was the whole goal. To having those retail coaches. So yeah, that's something that's in there that a lot of people said, man, that was so key. I never thought about doing anything like that. And then again, getting back to the basics of having those salon meetings and those trainings and taking those opportunities as a salon owner that we have when we have our ability to be an influence to the people who are working in our establishment.
Right. And that's, you know, that's one of the things I think, I love about you, you know, back when, when I was looking for a hairstylist and how I got, you know, came across, you were referred to me as a matter of fact, because I was looking for someone that, just who could educate me, you know, when I'm away from the salon, not that I was going to do my hair while I was at home, but that's just not my area of expertise. But that's what I was looking for. I was looking for someone who was into hair care, hair management, someone who could educate me. And you were referred to me. And so that's how I started going to you. And so I appreciate, you know, because this was years ago.
You were doing this years ago.
So I really appreciate your expertise, because I mean, I really needed somebody that was passionate about here, and you were that person. And I just so appreciate, you know, that person referring me to you. You know, because at the end of the day, it's like I can't do my hair, so it didn't matter how much I had to pay. I just needed somebody to help me with my hair. Like I said, I noticed that with you. I mean, I think when I first came, you gave me a consultation. I'm like, what is a consultation? I'm like, what is this?
Correct. That has to happen. Yeah, absolutely.
I've never, you know, not knocking anybody that I went to before, but I was really impressed with you just doing that consultation. I'm like, oh my God, I'm in heaven.
Yes. And that is so key. And it's something that, you know, I'm going to tell you, Miss Donna, I'm not going to say it haunts me, but I had you guys, my clients, so educated that when I moved and transitioned to Atlanta, everybody went into like a state of either depression, panic, anxiety. And I felt, listen, I had so many prayer sessions with a lot of my clients because they were going to people. I was referring them to people who I thought were educated, because it's like, wait a minute. I've either been on a stage with you. I'm in trainings with you. I like know you.
Right.
So I'm referring my clients to people either I've trained or people that I know in the industry that I've been around you for years in training. Mm-hmm. So if we train together, I would expect that you would carry out a lot of the same things that I do.
Right.
And when I would get these phone calls, still now to this day, when I would get these phone calls, I would just literally get off the phone in tears. Like, Lord, you got to help my clients. Like, I don't know what else to do. And they would just call me and say, well, can I just come to Atlanta? Can you just give me a relaxer? Can I just get my color? Like, I'll still go back, but I don't want them to do the chemicals. And I'm like, I can't. Like, I literally, everything changed for me. And I'm like, I want to, but I can't. And it was heartbreaking because I didn't understand how can you be in this industry and not really, if you say you care about the clients and it's not all about the money, how can you not deal with the science of the hair care and what's really going on? Because if you don't have those conversations, it's just like going to a doctor's office. We are literally the doctors of hair. So if you don't have that conversation, how does the doctor know how to properly treat you and give you prescription, aka retail product if you need it? How do they know to give you a treatment, aka surgery if you need it? How do they know to get, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's the same thing. So I took my job very seriously and to the heart because it literally became a part of my being. I didn't know how to do things any other way. So yeah, every time someone would sit in my chair, even if you were a client and you've been in my client for a long time, I'm still gonna ask you those questions before we get started. Anything changing your diet? Are you taking any new medications? Like, I ain't trying to be in your business, but I need to know before I put these chemicals, you know, in your hair, you know, or do you have any scalp irritation? They'd be like, no, 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 no. And thank you for asking. And then sometimes I would have those conversations and they would be like, oh yeah, my thyroid medicine changed.
Or my diabetes medicine
changed, or now I'm on high blood pressure pills and now I know how to properly treat your hair because now we got to change the game. Because if we don't change the game, you get ready to lose hair.
Because it's
chemical on chemical. And if you think about it, you know, when people take a drug test, they pluck a piece of their hair now. It's not just urine because the hair literally tells a story.
Wow.
It could tell a person everything you put in the hair from the beginning. I could wet the hair strand and it'll start. I could see it. I could smell it. I see the hair change from when it's wet, when it's dry. I know if somebody overlapped relaxer, if you went to somebody else, if you had color. I mean, it's like this is a trained eye that we're supposed to know and have. So for me, I don't respect people in the industry that don't operate according to what we have been trained from the beginning of beauty school. And that's that consultation analyzation. That has to have, it's a must. And if someone doesn't do that, you should ask questions. You should back up. Like you should, you know what I'm saying? Like, wait a minute. Like I know now, I know what I know. And I might not be no hairstylist, but my last hairstylist, these are some of the questions she would ask me. Are these some things you should know? Like, and then, you know, through those conversations, that's when you'd be like, you know what, let me just get a shampoo and roll out because you ain't it. You know what I'm saying? You ain't getting no chemicals in this head.
And you know what? You are the first person that, I mean, I have experienced that with. I'm like, she asked me all these questions about medication. And I'm like, what does that have to do with anything? But it did.
I did.
That's why it's so important. You were educating me, even while I didn't understand it, but you were educating me. And so I thought that was just so important. And I didn't want to say this, but when you mentioned how, you know, when you left to go to Atlanta.
Go ahead and give it to me. I already know.
Oh my goodness, Peter can't be doing this. Is this a joke?
I know.
I'm like, I was so heartbroken. I was so heartbroken. But you know, at the same time, I'm like, you know what? I'm happy for her. Whatever, you know, she, you know, is doing, whatever God is, you know, doing in her life. I'm happy for her and I'm going to support her. But I was so heartbroken. I'm like, what am I going to do? I don't know anybody else. I'm like, oh my God, this is just.
Listen. I'm like, I know. And you guys stuck with me through a lot of just even personal things that were happening, you know, within my life. You know, I didn't share a lot of about it. Like I didn't sit down and just like tell y'all all my troubles and what I was going through.
Right.
But I went through some changes several times, and you guys stuck with me when I had to move to different locations and all this was falling apart, and I had a business partner, and this, all these things were happening, but I never changed. Like with you guys, I did not let that affect my business.
You guys
stuck with me. And then as I transitioned back into a salon suite before I moved to Atlanta, because I knew that's what I was trying to do, and I said, I got to take it slow. I'm a downsize.
Right.
I'm gonna go back into this. And if you think about it, it's like, wait, I don't think you knew me before when I, because I started in a suite, but you didn't know me then. You knew me when I was when I had my big salon, but I started in a suite. But for the ones that was with me from the beginning when I started, because some of my clients were with me for 12 years, and they were like, wait, you going back to a suite? What? Wait, you working by yourself? Like, what's going on? And I'm like, I'm trying to transition to move to Atlanta, but I'm gonna give it a year, because I'm gonna give y'all time. And man, oh my goodness, it was bad, emotionally it was bad for my clients. Yeah. And to this day, Miss Donna, I will still get those calls and be like, hey, this is what's going on with my hair, what do you think? I need to tell the stylist. Like, what?
Well, I don't know if you remember this, but I was coming to Atlanta for something, and I reached out to you. I'm like, you know what? I can get my hair done when I get to Atlanta. And then when I reached out to you, like, I don't do hair anymore. I'm like,
none. None at all.
You referred me to somebody, but yes. I was like, oh my goodness, this is happening.
Yes, but it did.
Listen, God has a plan for you, and so that's all that was important to me, is, you know, you being successful and happy and wherever God was taking you. We've talked about how you got started, we've talked about your books, and so now let's talk about the retail boss. Who is the retail boss? Where did that title come from?
Wow, that title has a story. And I'm gonna sum it up. And basically, you know, first of all, I've been in retail since I was like 15 years old and was able to work. Like I said, my first job was at Nordstrom's, at home in the mall. And, you know, as I transitioned through life, you know, and became a platform artist, I was working with a particular company, and we would travel the world and teach people weaving techniques and wig making. Before it became what it is now, we were already teaching a lot of these things.
Wow.
And one of my counterparts was on stage with me one day, and she was like, you know what? She had the mic on. We all had these headsets, and someone asked a question about, like, what should I be sending my clients home with, you know, being that they're wearing hair extensions. And so I gave this whole spiel, and my counterpart says, you know what? Every time we're on the stage, you are always talking to people about the right retail. We're gonna just call you the retail boss.
Wow.
And that literally stuck with me ever since. And it literally became a part of, you know, who I was. And I was like, this is it. This is what I've been doing. This is what I know. Like, this is like ingrained in me. So I'm going to go with that. And I launched out, stopped working for all of these different hair companies.
Mm-hmm.
I even stopped doing like the Bronner Brothers shows, because I was doing all those shows. I was traveling, doing all the hair shows. And I stepped back from other brands and decided to, you know, brand myself. Like, you know, let me do my own thing.
Right.
And it was because it was becoming a conflict. It was really becoming a conflict of interest, because those companies, they want you to sell what they're selling.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is selling a technique, if that is selling that information, they don't want you talking about other things that may be just as vital and as important.
Right.
And I felt like that was, it was affecting my integrity at that point. And I just couldn't do that. So yeah, I stepped out in 2018 and started the Retail Boss brand. Before I even started the Retail Boss brand, I was branding myself by another name. And that was Education with Kena. That was it.
Right.
And then the Lord was like, yeah, no, that's not it. That's not it. I was like, I done paid for all of this stuff, Lord. What you mean? The Lord was like, nah, that's I need you to go back to this. And so that was it. I started with a podcast. That's really the retail brand, the Retail Boss brand really started with my podcast, and I stepped out on faith with that. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. It was a mess. If people go back and listen from the beginning to like what it sounds like now, it's totally different, and it's okay, right? Because that was growth. I launched out into the deep. Hear the Lord saying, come on out the boat one more time, right, friend, come on. So I did that. And it's literally grown on people, and I'm just like, but you know, I'm gonna be honest with you, you know, Retail Boss is changing into another, I'm not gonna say another, well, it is another business venture, but I'm really getting ready to walk into ministry as well as in my initial purpose, and that is starting my own fashion boutique. So
right,
I'm going back. It's like I did a 360. It's yes, so crazy. It really yes is. And my foundation has always been God, so it makes sense that I'll end up, you know, I'm gonna set out for this women's ministry that I'm launching. And right, then like I said, God is taking me back into the fashion space. So I went online and I linked back up with FIT.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And started taking all these classes for merchandising.
Yes.
I'm telling you, I came back full circle, and I'm so happy. Like the happiness on the inside of me, the joy that I feel, because I want to be a space for women that we are saved, we are living for God, but we still look good.
Exactly.
We can still be fashionable. We can still, amen, you know, allow our beauty to be shown on the outside as well as much as it is on the inside. Until we fix the inside, it don't matter what we dress it up on the outside.
Amen.
So
amen.
Yes, that's where I am.
That is awesome.
Yes, ma'am.
So tell me a little bit more, because about Daughters of Deliverance, because this is a women's ministry. You're going to, I guess, next month is when it's actually going to launch. So
yes,
tell us about that.
Wow. Listen, when I tell you it's taken a long time for me to get to this point, and, you know, I'm going to be honest, you know, sometimes when you know that you have a calling on your life, well, I'm not going to say sometimes, but majority of the people, they run from it. They run from
right
it because it's like, hey, you know, I don't really know. This is the lane I'm in. I'm staying over here. This is comfortable. So, you know, when God really started using me on the microphone to just begin to talk about business and then also involve the scriptures, I said, this is going to turn into something else. Mm-hmm. And I've known all my life that I was going to be in ministry some way, shape, or form. I just didn't know how.
Right.
And I wanted to, whatever it was that God was going to have me to do, I wanted to make sure I did it in His timing, and it was going to be what He wanted, and it didn't have, I don't want to have my name written on none of it. I don't need
right
to be the face of it. It needs to be all God, and that's it. And so I've waited all these years. I've never pursued ministry. I did not want it. But when the call is so great, you can't help but move forward.
Right.
And when it comes to, first of all, the name Daughters of Deliverance was mm-hmm like, what in the world, Lord, are you doing? You're getting ready to really draw people to me with this, right? And I'm
right
like, wow. And He's like, listen, I need you to understand what's going on right now in this day. And right now, women are being attacked spiritually. It's a spiritual mm-hmm battle that's happening. And what I need you to understand is my daughters need deliverance. They need to be delivered from all the things that are being put upon them, whether it comes from darkness, whether it comes from their own mind, their own insecurities. They need to be delivered from that. Those things need to be pulled out of them. Again, taking us back to the affirmations book.
Right.
And they also need to be healed. They need healing. And so I was like, okay, God, how is this really supposed to happen? And, you know, when is this going to happen? I knew it was going to come, but I didn't know it was going to come this soon.
Wow.
I really honestly, truly didn't. But when I started looking at, like I said, the Lord started showing me what's happening in the world and how mm-hmm like so many of the signs are there. Like, you know, women are being forced into aborting their babies full term
right
now. It's like, hey, this is a thing. It's okay for you to do this. And guess what? Every woman has their own choice. But if I could be used by God to be a tool
Right.
To be able to show them that, like, what they're carrying is a precious gift from God. And, you know, this seed could possibly be the next prophet or evangelist or minister. This next person that you may have on the inside of you that you need to bring forward, understand this gift of birthing, God only gave it to women.
Right.
And if I can get women to understand how valuable they are, you know what I'm saying? And understanding, like, what really happened even back in the days, back in the Garden of Eden, what really happened back then? And why do we get frowned upon in so many different, it doesn't even matter what industry you're in. Like, we're always under attack. Women are
That's true.
Under attack. And I'm like, God, what is it about the woman? And he says, well, I put enmity between the woman and Satan back in the garden. Because it was then in that moment that judgment had to come to be able to get us as women right now today to see who is our enemy and why.
Right.
Why does he attack? The Lord said, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman. And guess what? You will try your best to devour her seed. Will bruise your head.
Mm-mm.
So you will not have the power to overtake what I've given her to birth into this world. That could be a physical birth, that could be spiritual birth,
mm-hmm.
that could be a business birth. We're incubators. So
right.
It is our job, it's our duty to birth and to nurture. So if I'm just like, Lord, if you can just help me to be able to reach these women that are broken, that are bruised, that are spiritually oppressed, that may be even possessed and depressed by forces of darkness, and they're searching for freedom and they want that freedom. They need to know that they get that liberty through Christ.
Right.
That you can't get it from burning sage. You can't get it from crystals. You can't get it from any of those things. Only through Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so
absolutely.
this women's organization is going to be very different. I will be developing a community online.
Mm-hmm.
I will be ministering online. I will be doing women's events. I plan to do women's retreats every year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's so much that's going to come with it. I have merch that's coming out that's going to have some like amazing things that we need to be wearing to understand that we are royalty and we are unfiltered.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm just so excited because God is really getting ready to show up and show out. And it has nothing to do with me. I'm literally a vessel that has yielded to the call. And that's it.
Amazing. That is amazing. Yes. I mean, I've watched you grow over the years. And I tell you what, you're a trailblazer. You're doing some great things.
Amen. Amen.
In the, you know, in the business arena and, you know, definitely in the body of Christ. And so,
amen.
You know, I am blessed.
Yeah.
Connected.
Amen.
A powerful woman of God.
Amen. Listen, and we are powerful together because what you're doing right now, Fashion Unfiltered, listen, we got to lift each other up and
that
push each other forward. So I can't wait to have you on my podcast.
Oh,
so I'm just throwing that out there, sis.
Uh-oh.
Let's do it.
I would say like TD Jake said, get ready.
Get ready. And we got to learn how to do that. Keep each other, you know, lifted up and use each other's platforms and push each other
that
forward.
Is
that is so, that's all, that's what sisterhood is all about.
That is true. That mm-hmm. is true. That is mm-hmm. so true. Now, before I end, you
okay.
know, I have to ask you some questions.
Okay.
About your style. You know, I got to put it out there.
Okay. Go ahead.
Do you have like a favorite icon, an individual, a favorite designer that inspires your style? Because like I say, I mean, you're on point. I don't think I've ever seen you miss a beat.
Listen, God has definitely given me that eye for a very long time, and I don't take it by chance. But to answer your question, you know, somebody who I really admire, and this gentleman literally changed a lot of how I view the modern day Christian woman.
Mm-hmm.
And it was mm-hmm. when I started following this gentleman on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a business class, and it was live in Dallas, and this was like
mm-hmm.
before the pandemic. And oh wait, was it in the beginning of the, I can't remember. It was either 2018 or 2019. Mm-hmm. And I went to the conference, and it was it was called Kingdom Business Conference. And okay. When I went to the conference, the Lord, Holy Spirit told me to go by myself. I bought the VIP. I wanted to be like in the know. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be up close and personal. And I tell you, that experience literally changed everything. And it made everything start making sense with like how I am. Because I remember early on, you know, in the church, I had challenges because people would like talk about me and like put me in this category and say things about me that wasn't true based on how I dressed.
Right.
And that was a part of me and that's where the insecurity and things like that mm-hmm. creep in, because then it's like, do I need to downplay myself? And this is just who I am. Right. And the Lord always gave me a boldness and was like, girl, no, do you, don't you worry about them. Do what I got for you to do. And that attracted people to my business. How I dressed in church attracted people to my salon. It wasn't all about my hair. It was everything. These women would walk up to me. I'm talking older seasoned women would walk up to me and say, girl, that's a bad dress you got on, girl. Right. I mean, your whole look is just everything. Like, what do you do? It was an opener, conversation starter. Mm-hmm. That part of me, that fashion side of me. And you know, so anyway, I started following Mr. Jay Bolin, and mm-hmm. he became a huge inspiration and really pushing me and catapulting me into this space that I'm in now. And he inspires me. So a lot of the things that, like, I always been a person that would mix match patterns and mix match colors that really shouldn't go together. And I would put them together and I would just make, but I never thought to do that like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I could just kind of turn something plain that came from any place into something. You know what I'm saying? Right. And that was just a natural ability. So, yeah, when I went to that conference, it gave me the confidence. And I said, okay, Lord, I don't know when you're going to allow me to, like, release this and walk in this. But this is a part of this journey that you have me on.
Right.
And I'm just glad that I went to that, because from that day forward, I just continue to just, you know, I follow him. I mm-hmm. see how he is. Like, I love the fact that he prays with his team and, you know, how he took people who were regular nobodies and brought them under his leadership.
Wow.
And to see them bloom and blossom, like, right in front of everyone's eyes. Like, I'm like, that's the person that I am. I'm good at that. So I think it's very important. Like, we do this in ministry and in the church. Like, hey, you know, you look for someone to be your spiritual father mm-hmm. that has the same DNA, that has the same kind of like coding that you have. So when I look at him, I see a lot of where I can go, because I see a lot of the attributes. And I'm like, and he's faith-based. You know what I'm saying? So everything just came together for me. So the answer to that question, it is definitely Mr. Jay Bolin. I absolutely adore him.
And I can see why. I've started following him. And yes, that the one thing that really, I don't want to use the word surprise, but I did realize that he was faith-based.
Yes.
And so I was excited to see that, because I'm like, you know, here's a guy. I think he's been a stylist for umpteen years.
Yes.
And you would think, you know, sometimes when they get into certain areas in their lives, at times during their lives, you know, it's usually the opposite way around. But I was like, wow, he mm-hmm. is really faith-based. He is a Christian. And yes. So, yeah, I get what you're saying. And, yeah, that's the examples we want to actually be following. And so, yeah, I actually loopy love his style. I love him. I love
his
style.
Yes.
Yeah, I get your point. And so, what would you say is the easiest season for you to be fashionable?
The easiest season for me to be fashionable is winter, because I can layer. I love to layer. I'm from up north. I'm a northern. I'm a Jersey girl by all means. So if I can layer clothes, oh my goodness, I absolutely love. I love sweaters. I love scarves. I love I take it back old school. I love leg warmers. Do you know, like, so many people would stop me and be like, where you get your leg warmers? Uh-huh. Girl, I made these, honey. This is fabric. I mean, I can just, it's so many different things that you can just do. I love wearing hats during the wintertime. I love fashionable jackets. I do a lot. I swap out just pieces, even simple things, blazers and jeans and t-shirts. Mm-hmm. And I like cutting up stuff and putting stuff back together and making it look like something. Yeah, all of those things are definitely that draws me in the wintertime, because you can do so many things. And I think a lot of times we don't think that we have pieces in our closets that we can really make look fashionable, but that's we really true. Can, you know. And I love jackets. I just anything that you can layer and put together and wear 3 and 4 different things at one time, mm-hmm. I will find a way to make that happen. My husband be like, dang, you got on a lot of stuff. I said, but I'm cute and I'm not and I'm not cold. I'm good.
Just let him know you're cute. That's right.
Yes, absolutely. That's my jam right there, wintertime. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So how would you describe your personal style?
My personal style is definitely what some probably would call secular. It's like one of those things to where it's on the fence, but I definitely am sexy, classy. I definitely would say just top notch. Like I like to have a polished look, so I don't. I'm not into the rugged look. I do understand that, and I guess there's a time and place for it, but just very, very classy. And tasteful. Very tasteful. Yes, I'm all about the taste. You know, I'm a married woman, so I don't show a lot of skin. But when I do show the skin, it's certain places that I'm willing to do that. And it's not to be seductive. That's why I said, you know, what I said about being secular, because, you know, it's not on the scales of what most would look for a Christian woman or a woman that's a believer or a faith of the Christian faith to look like. So a shoulders out, you know, I love, I don't have an issue with above the knee at all. Now, I'm not going to show a whole lot of thigh. Now, you know, we have a time and a place when you with your man and, you know, this is what we doing. That's when I do those. But to like put out there, like on social media, like I'm very intentional with what parts of my skin that I do expose. And it's because of just who I am, you know, honestly. That this is what you need to do. It's just who I am, and it's what and I am representing the kingdom of God.
Right.
So I definitely don't want to be like seductive, but if I'm gonna be seductive, it's gonna be with my man though. We got to keep that spicy now. Come on now, sis. Exactly. Come on. So yes, I love all those things. So that's all me for sure. That is definitely my style.
Yeah, and I like the fact that, you know, when we talk about Christian women, we think that we have to wear everything across our head and down to our ankle. And
Yes.
So I appreciate, you know, you being that example by showing Christian women that they can still be sexy and still be classy at the same time.
That's right.
And so I think... your business is going to reach new heights because, you know, we need to, you know, somebody, we need that example.
Amen.
We need that example. And so I think your business is going to, you know, just blossom.
Amen. Blossom. I receive
like everything
that.
Everything else you did.
I receive it. I really do. I receive it. Sometimes these transitions, you're like, okay, God, what are we doing? And why are we changing things? They're going so well. Like, why are we doing this? And, you know, I've had so many of those seasons, but it's the elevation, you know, and sometimes, you know, and I have these moments of isolation, actually pretty often. And I'm like, you know, God, like, why am I like this now? And he's like, I'm elevating you. I'm taking you to another place. And I want to be your only influence. You know what I'm saying? So when we have those moments, it's like, hey, it's okay. Like, don't feel bad about it. So yeah, the transition phases are definitely key. And that's where I'm at. Once again, it's going to be amazing. God is good. I believe it.
I see why, because you put God first and everything.
Absolutely.
And so you can never go wrong with that. So I'm going to say thank you so very much, Keena, for sharing your journey.
Yes, you're so welcome. You're
being
welcome.
Being a beacon of light, you know, not just to the beauty industry, but to everybody.
Amen. Amen.
Definitely have to do this again. So
yes, absolutely. We're gonna flip the script too. I'm gonna bring you on my side of the stage.
I appreciate it so much. I would love to. So
thank you.
Before we wrap up,
okay.
Where can listeners find you? You know, how can they buy your book? You know, I want to make sure we put that out there.
Okay.
Yes. So tell us where we can find you and how they can purchase your book.
Okay, absolutely. So you guys can definitely find the Retail Boss Podcast on all podcasting platforms. I'm like everywhere now, so it doesn't matter what type of device you have, but you can definitely find me on Apple Podcasts, Podbean, iHeart Radio, Pandora, anywhere you can find me. Also, you can find the Retail Boss on YouTube, where I do actual visual podcast now. So yeah, you can actually see me behind the mic there, and also on Instagram at I Am The Retail Boss. And if you click the link in my bio, it will definitely take you to where you can buy my books. So you can definitely, when you click that link, it'll take you to my website, which is www.retailbossbiz.com. I'm no longer doing any more of the hard copies of the affirmations book, but you can find it on Amazon. And there's a link for that as well in my bio. So definitely check that out. And I'm looking forward to connecting with you guys via Instagram and YouTube, The Retail Boss. And we shall connect again, Miss Donna. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Sakina. It was lovely. It was definitely lovely.
Thank you. It was amazing. I can't wait to have you on mine now.
Thanks a lot, dear. Until next time.
Okay, until next time.
Okay, bye-bye. Once again, we thank you for listening to Fashion Unfiltered, where it's just all about having candid conversations about fashion to confidence and just everything in between. You can subscribe, like, and listen to all of our episodes either on Anchor, Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. You can also follow and like Donna M. Collection at Donna M. Collection via our Facebook and Instagram pages. And if you're looking for some unique and special pieces, you can certainly shop with Donna M. Collection at DonnaMCollection.shop. Or if you are in the Charleston, South Carolina area, we are located at 946 C2 Orleans Road, Suite 109. We would love to see you. And be sure to sign up for the early access to our new arrivals, sales, and discounts via the website. Once again, it's DonnaMCollection.shop.